How's everybody doing? Gonna be in 1 Samuel tonight, chapter 14. So basically, you know, a lot of people here know we're starting a addictions recovery meeting this March. And this is kind of the passage. I've been praying about it for a while and talking about it and stuff. And this is kind of the passage that really spoke to me and gave me the, you know, that it was that scripture for me that God said, okay, yes, I want you to do this. You know, it was kind of that. Been seeking Him and trying to find out and really, you know, searching His Word, trying to, like, okay, God, show me something that says this is what you want me to do. And it's not just, you know, me and my desires, but yours. And so, yeah, this is about Jonathan, Saul's son, when he fights the Philistines with his armor bearer. I don't know how many of you are familiar with it, but I'm going to start in verse 1. Now it happened one day that Jonathan, the son of Saul, said to the young man who bore his armor, "Come, let us go over to the Philistines' garrison that is on the other side." But he did not tell his father. And Saul was sitting in the outskirts of Geba under a pomegranate tree, which is in Migron. The people who were with him were about 600 men. Ahijah, the son of Ahitub, Ichabod's brother, the son of Phinehas, the son of Eli, the Lord's priest in Shiloh, was wearing an ephod, but the people did not know that Jonathan had gone. So right off the bat, you know, Jonathan, the whole deal with, you know, the Israelites fighting the Philistines and stuff, they kind of always were. It was, you know, I think part of the deal with when the Israelites were supposed to go take that land and, you know, therefore fighting the Philistines a lot. And the first thing I notice is Jonathan, you know, going, taking this call. He sees this Philistines garrison, which is just a group of soldiers that are sent to, you know, provide protection or whatever for an area. And we'll read later on, there is about 20 of them there probably. And, you know, to see Jonathan just take off and say, let's go over here and fight these guys. But yet you find his father is just, you know, sitting underneath a pomegranate tree, hanging out with some guys, like, war going on and everything else, but it's just the first sign that Jonathan sees, you know, why aren't we over here fighting, and instead we're, you know, just sitting underneath trees, hanging out with guys, kind of living it up. And verse 4, it says, "Between the passes by which Jonathan sought to go over to the Philistines' garrison, there was a sharp rock on one side and a sharp rock on the other side. And the name was Bozez, and the name of the other, Sina. The front of one face northward opposite Michmash, and the other southward opposite Geba." The thing I like about that, because there's a few main points that I kind of have that I want to mention about Jonathan. And that first one to me is about the strategy. Because you think about it, he's going, you know, these men are through this pass into this small area. And if you're going to go fight 20 guys and it's just you and your armor bearer, it's probably better off to fight them in a small area where they can't outnumber you as easily, you know. And it's just kind of, I took that as just kind of smart, you know, as going into, it's a lot better. Yeah, it's just, like I said, I like seeing that in Jonathan, that, you know, it wasn't just that he wanted to jump up and go fight these guys and didn't think and didn't plan. You know, he had strategy on how he was going to do what he felt the Lord, you know, wanted him to do, you know. And so, verse 6, "Then Jonathan said to the young man who bore his armor, 'Come, let us go over to the garrison of these uncircumcised. It may be that the Lord will work for us, for nothing restrains the Lord from saving by many or by few.'" That to me is, that little paragraph there, that verse really is kind of big, because, you know, he tells his armor bearer, "Come on, let's go over there." And this part was kind of something that somebody mentioned to me. It says, "It may be that the Lord will work for us." You know, that kind of doesn't even really sound like a, hey, the Lord's going to work for us, let's go do this. It's a, you know what? I don't know what the outcome is going to be, but I believe the Lord's going to be with us, so let's go do it. And so that's, like I said, I think that's just kind of a big thing. And then I marked in my Bible, I had Romans 8:31, in the second part of that verse, you know, for if God's for us, and who can be against us? Kind of to go with the last part of verse 6. And it's just, you know, for me looking at going into this ministry and stuff, you know, it's the way a lot of this is. It's, you know, just looking at it with, I don't have a clue what I'm getting into, but just going with, you know, God's going to be the one to pull us through it, you know, and guide us through the entire thing.
I like where it says, many will be saved by few.
Yep.
Yep. Points right at you there.
Yep. That's another very good, that's part I got underlined in my Bible. Just, verse, I gotta make sure I'm not missing. Yeah, verse 6, that was another quality that I liked of David, is his faith. You know, like I said, to go into it, and it's faith and belief, you know, and just the desire to do what God is calling him to do. You know, he sees this object in front of him that needs to be handled, and is willing to go do it. And like I said, that part about it may be the Lord will work for us is pretty huge for me, because like I said, he's going in with just, it doesn't even matter the outcome, as long as he's doing what the Lord's calling him to do. It shouldn't, I don't think, matter in any of our hearts, you know, what the outcome is, as long as it's what the Lord's calling us to do. And then, so verse 7, so his armor bearer said to him, do all that is in your heart, go then, here I am with you according to your heart. And I think that's just pretty cool to see, because, I mean, you got to think, as his armor bearer, I mean, there's been, I can just imagine, like, well, are you sure we shouldn't go get your dad and, you know, all of his soldiers first? Because that would kind of be better than just the two of us fighting, you know, this great army. And but it's cool, though, to see his armor bearer and just have that willingness to go. What is your problem? Is that better? If I had been sitting up there, up higher, yeah. Better, everybody.
I'm not a good AV guy either.
You're wearing all black. You good?
Yeah.
That better? Alright. So yeah, it's just cool. I think that's something, you know, as we've been talking and praying about this meeting and stuff, is it's been pretty cool for me, is to see the people that have come to want to be able to support or back up and be involved in this meeting. And I think it's just a sign to see, you know, that God provides people. You know, it's, you know, I don't think he's very apt to just throw us into something alone, you know. And that's pretty cool. Verse 8, then Jonathan said, very well, let us cross over to these men, and we will show ourselves to them. If they say thus to us, wait until we come to you, then we will stand still in our place and not go up to them. But if they say thus, come up to us, then we will go up, for the Lord has delivered them into our hand, and this will be a sign to us. And again, that was kind of cool reading. You know, this whole passage is just really big to me, but that was another thing that stood out, is, you know, he was willing to just, again, look for a sign from God, not just run into it and try to do it blindly, just like, you know, he did it with faith and with strategy. You know, he shows here, you know, he sought the Lord. I imagine there was a lot of prayer involved in that, you know, on a quicker scale of things. But so both of them showed themselves to the garrison of the Philistines, and the Philistines said, look, the Hebrews are coming out of the holes where they have hidden. Then the men of the garrison called to Jonathan and his armor bearer and said, come up to us and we will show you something. You know, where they're talking about the Hebrews hiding in the holes and stuff, that's previous chapters, which was pretty cool. Another instance, in chapter 13, where it's talking about Saul had 3,000 men, and he took 2,000 for himself, and 1,000 were for his son, you know. And that's one of those instances you'd think, like, well, gee, Dad, thanks for, you know, keeping the most for yourself and giving me nothing, but it didn't seem to faze Jonathan too much, because if you read chapter 13, it talks about how he took those men and went and attacked another garrison of the Philistines. And so, yeah, again, just more of Jonathan's faithfulness, I think, in that chapter. It's just kind of something relates there. But anyways, in that, during those battles that were happening then, Saul had kind of like told everybody, they kind of just fled, and kind of a lot of people went different ways through different battles and stuff that were happening there, and that's kind of what these guys are talking about here. But then Jonathan said to his armor bearer, "Come up after me, for the Lord has delivered them into the hand of Israel." And Jonathan climbed on his hands and his knees with his armor bearer after him, and they fell before Jonathan. And as he came after him, his armor bearer killed them. That first slaughter which Jonathan and his armor bearer made was about 20 men within about half an acre of land. And so, you know, it's saying he climbed up on his hands and knees. You know, it's, he's done all these things of seeing the need, going to it, waiting for a sign from God, and then getting that sign from God, and then not hesitating, not waiting again, not, you know, sitting underneath the pomegranate tree waiting, like, hey, let's pray about it more, or let's think about it. And it's, no, he got that call and he said, okay, let's go. And you know, and then he climbed up on his hands and knees, and you know, just showing that there's work involved in following God's will. You know, it's not just pray about it, and you know, there's, prayer is a humongous thing in life, but I mean, there are times when God, there's like physical work that we need to put in. And again, just another quality that I like Jonathan to see, you know, it doesn't really matter to him. He not only he's got to crawl up this big hill to get to these guys, but then he's got to fight 20 men. And talks about how, you know, Jonathan was and they fell before Jonathan, and then his armor bearer kind of went and you know, it kind of sounds like Jonathan would fight him, pretty much give him a good blow, and then the armor bearer would kind of come behind him and pick up the scraps. And it's just kind of, again, a good example of God giving us people to help us, you know, and things like that, in struggles and trials and whatnot. And verse 15, "And there was a trembling in the camp in the field, and among all the people, the garrison and the raiders also trembled, and the earth quaked, so that it was very great trembling." That's that earthquake thing. I think that's a good example of when we do what God's calling us to do, God doing his part of it. You know, Jonathan was just going in faith, and, you know, again, just I think that's a huge example, because, like, with this meeting and stuff, you know, all we're doing is giving them the word, and God's got to do the rest. And I'm just excited to see that. I'm excited to see the, I guess, quote, earthquakes that he makes, you know. It's pretty cool. "Now the watchmen of Saul and Geba of Benjamin looked, and there was a multitude melting away, and they went here and there. Then Saul said to the people who were with them, 'Now call the roll and see who has gone from us.' And when they had called the roll, surprisingly, Jonathan and his armor bearer were not there." Kind of cool. Jonathan, you know, Saul, he's, the guy's kind of a dipstick, I think. Like, he, you know, they're sitting underneath having their little, you know, shellaxing party, and then they see all this happening, the earthquake, and the armies fighting against themselves, you know, running and everything else. And then they're like, oh, well, you know, he instantly wants to, he obviously realizes it wasn't him that was responsible for it. So, you know, he kind of wants to find out who that is. And then he realizes it's his son, you know, his own son is the one who's gone. And and then 18, "And Saul said to Ahijah, 'Bring the ark of God here, for at the time of the ark, for at that time the ark of God was with the children of Israel.'" So in other words, like, when things start to happen, Saul is like, okay, let's get God real quick. Like, let's, you know, let's do something holy, so that people, I think it was just kind of a thing to bring attention to him, you know. And again, it's just, I think this is a great comparison of the person that I want to be and the person I don't want to be. Like, So then, now it happened while Saul talked to the priest that the noise which was in the camp of the Philistines continued to increase. So Saul said to the priest, withdraw your hand. Then Saul and all the people who were with him assembled, and they went to the battle. And indeed, every man's sword was against his neighbor, and there was a very great confusion. That's cool that Saul joined in and all, but again with Jonathan, you know, getting that call, and where he says, you know, if God gives us a sign, we're going to go do this. Where Saul, you know, just sat around and waited till the trouble was already there, and, you know, the battle was already ensued, wanting to jump in and be a part of it. And just a good example, you know, I think in any situation we're in, when we feel God calling us to do something, you know, before it gets worse, or if we see something coming, you know, to just do it if it's what God's calling us to do, to not push it off because it's too big, or, you know, we might get looked at different for it or whatever. You know, if God's calling us to do it, I think, you know, there's that time for prayer and the sign from God, and then there's also the time to go and do it. And again, just an example of Paul, Saul being the guy I really don't want to be like. Moreover, the Hebrews who were with the Philistines before that time, who went up with them in the camp from the surrounding country, they also joined the Israelites who were with Saul and Jonathan. Likewise, all the men of Israel who had hidden in the mountains of Ephraim, when they heard that the Philistines fled, they also followed hard after them in battle, so that the Lord saved Israel that day, and the battle shifted to Beth-Aven. Just kind of cool to see that. Like, to see, again, Jonathan going and doing something that he was called to do, and God making it so much bigger, because it went way beyond just the 20. You know, it was, they ensued in this huge battle to the point where the Philistines and stuff were fighting against themselves in confusion, and just, like I said, just a great example of seeing what God can do with somebody and with people that are willing to do his will, you know. And that's the first time I studied this, that's and taught this, that's where I left off, and I actually want to go further this time, just something that I noticed this time reading through. And verse 24, and the men of Israel were distressed that day, for Saul had placed the people under an oath, saying, cursed is the man who eats any food until evening, before I have taken vengeance on my enemies. Notice that my there. So none of the people tasted food. Now all the people of the land came to a forest, and there was honey on the ground. And when the people had come into the woods, there was honey dripping, but no one had put his hand to his mouth, for the people feared the oath. But Jonathan had not heard his father charge the people with the oath. Therefore, he stretched out the end of the rod that was in his hand and dipped it in a honeycomb and put his hand in his mouth, and his countenance was brightened. Again, just Paul being kind of, Saul being kind of dumb, you know, puts this thing, this oath or whatever you want to call it, yeah, this oath, you know, saying that nobody can eat until they've, you know, until we've accomplished my vengeance, my wrath on my battle, on my enemies. And it's like, the huge thing there is, it's not his battle, it's not his enemies, it's God's, you know. And that's the thing I think we need to realize, and like for me going into this meeting and stuff, is just trying to remember whose all this is God's. And that it's not, you know, my meeting, or it's not so-and-so's meeting, but it's God's meeting. And and then, you know, and not put ridiculous things over it that, you know, just don't belong. And then the real big thing here is, for me, was with Jonathan when he takes the honey and eats it, you know. And actually, let me read on a little bit more first, 28. Then one of the people said, your father strictly charged the people with an oath, saying, cursed is the man who eats food this day, and the people were faint. But Jonathan said, my father has troubled the land. In other words, my father's an idiot. That's just something that I really kind of feel that that's probably not exactly the words he said, but I feel he was thinking it for sure. Look now how my countenance has brightened because I have tasted a little of this honey. How much better if the people had eaten freely today of the spoil of their enemies, which they found. For now would they not have been a much greater slaughter among the Philistines? That was a huge thing for me about not being Saul and not taking away what's important for myself. And which, you know, placing God's word as the honey. You know, not taking that from myself, you know, making that time and, you know, being brightened and being uplifted and just abiding in God's word so that when battles come, we can give people God's word. And because it says, for now, would there not have been a much greater slaughter among the Philistines? I mean, these guys are tired. They're beaten down. They've been chasing Philistines through the woods, you know, after fighting them, you know. And it's just, again, that's kind of the comparison I put to it is, you know, is like in verse 27, you know, it talks about how his countenance was brightened. And to me, that was another quality that I had written down was that I wrote for it was discernment to know, no, I need this, you know. And I get that at that point he didn't know Saul's thing, but just seeing that... like I said, I guess kind of discernment that Jonathan knew, hey, we need this. We need this nourishment. We need this to go on, to do what God's called us to do. Because if we don't, we're not going to be able to do it to the fullest that he allows us to. It goes back to that crawling up the pass there, you know, putting in the physical, you know. And there is times where we do need things, you know, spiritually and whatnot, like God's word. We need to open that up and not keep it from ourselves and not... you know, not be trying to do it on our own, you know. And that was my relation there with Saul, because, I mean, that's things I've done before. I get too busy with things and not make enough time for God's word. And we suffer from it, for sure. And it's not only us. It's the people God's trying to put us in encounters with and whatnot. You know, if we're not studying and knowing God's word, I mean, how can we know to teach it to people and to go out and witness and how we should be living to... just live a testimony for Christ. I think that was kind of where I was. It's probably a little shorter of a message than the great Reverend Sam, but that's for the sitting up above everybody joke. But yeah, like I said, those are kind of the things that... This was a really cool section for me because this was something I was supposed to do a character study on Jonathan up to Island Falls a little while ago. And this was a passage that I had read, and I was like, no, I got to focus on more of Jonathan's character. And then didn't realize how much I was missing in that. And then, so, you know, I was going trying to be all about Jonathan and David's relationship and friendship and everything, and, you know, how good of a good Jonathan's character is, and there's so much in that. I'm not trying to belittle that, but again, this was the piece of scripture where I was reading and, you know, trying to seek God about starting this meeting, and I just took that as, you know, just laid that all out in those ways, and I was like, yeah, that's I think what God's saying is, you know, it's time to go, it's time to do this, and you know, it's been great to pray and seek the Lord and have counsel from others, and I'm just glad that, you know, to be able to see, have signs from God. You know, it's just proof to me that God does work and is all that much easier to follow him, you know, when he's showing you. But, I mean, he does that when you're in his word. And it just was a great example of all that for me. And, but yeah, so faith, strategy, drive, and discernment were kind of the things that I got from Jonathan that were big to me. Like I said, I mean, guy was just faithful to do what God called him to do. And I think that was because he was spending time with the Lord. And the Lord used him for that. And I think he was true about that. I heard somebody say, you know, there's not the Jonathan's one of the few guys in the Bible that you don't hear anything bad about him. And I really think we have to relay that to, again, just the time that he spent with God, you know, and very vital thing. And, yeah, I'm excited to see what God does with this meeting and stuff. Hope you guys will be praying about it. And So yeah, that's pretty much that. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, just thank you for this day. Thank you for this time, Lord, that we could just come together and be in your word, Lord. And Lord, I just pray for all of us, Lord, that we would just have this, think about these qualities and stuff that Jonathan had, Lord. And really, they're qualities of you, Lord. They're qualities that you represent. And help us to do that, Lord, to be seeking you, looking for needs, Lord. You know, I don't think that the stuff we're supposed to do all the time is just right in front of us. I think we just need to be looking for the things you want us to do, you know, and then praying about it. And I just pray that you guide us all in that, Lord, no matter whether we're in a ministry or just raising our families or what we're doing, Lord, just help us to be seeking you and living our lives in that way, Lord, I pray. Just pray that you be with everybody here, Lord. Just bless them in their travels and in the fellowship we have afterward, I pray. In the name of Jesus, amen. I know, it was way quicker, and I was like, because I had that second section, and I was like, oh, this will burn through more time, too, that'd be great, and I looked, and I was like, oh, it's not even 7 yet, whatever. I was going to try to draw it out in a prayer, and just pray for like 20 minutes, but. Yeah, it was simple, but there's a lot there.
In that section?
Mm-hmm.
Tomorrow morning.